will listen to life in a war zone. The war zone is Lebanon, in particular its southern border region, which Israel is bombing and moving troops into. As in any war, there's a lot of confusion about just whose forces control what, and that state of confusion is where many people live and where NPR's Eder Peralta has been visiting. Hey there, Eder.
Hey, Steve.
Let's begin with a look at the map. It's the Lebanese border with Israel. United Nations peacekeepers are supposed to occupy positions between Israel and the forces of its target Hezbollah. What's happening right now?
Yeah, I mean, the UN says that Israeli troops attacked one of their positions directly. They say that they used a tank to destroy a gate, and that later Israeli troops fired what were apparently smoke bombs. The UN says Israel has also fired at their positions on other occasions. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says he regrets the incidents, but that the way to prevent them in the future is to, quote, move the UN troops out. The UN says that they're not leaving because this is their job, to keep the peace in this volatile region. And the South is the front line right now in Lebanon. Israel has been relentlessly bombing it, bombing what it says are Hezbollah targets. They have also ordered the evacuation of a vast number of villages there. I just came back from there, and I want to play a bit of my reporting for you, and a warning, you'll hear the sounds of explosions. The war never leaves you here in Marjayoun. Even at night, in your bed, you can clearly hear what's happening. Hezbollah rockets take off over the mountains, trying to hit Israeli positions. Then, Israeli drones show up. And then, you hear the roar of a jet, and those booms you feel in your bones, the energy from the strike you feel on your skin. Most of this town is desolate. The roads are empty, the stores are closed. During the day, we walk, we meet the people who stayed, a tailor, a farmer, a housewife, and Nabi Laoud, the principal of the Marjayoun National College, or grade school here.
Feel free, Habib, feel free.
This is your house, he says, as he welcomes us into his grand sitting room. But as he settles down into his couch, you can tell he's mourning. His students have gone to school just one day this year.
I'm 71 years old. I haven't seen a good day through all my life. Always in war.
Lebanon has been through three wars with Israel, plus a civil war. The country emerged from the pandemic and crashed into an economic crisis. And now it is at war again. Lahoud remembers in the 80s, students would watch rockets crash into a hill from across the school.
I don't know why these people who are running Lebanon don't feel that there is a people around. They don't feel that there are people. They are looking for bankrupting us. They have stolen us. These are rockets from Hezbollah. Go, three. You might hear one, four. Count them. Last time, some days ago, I counted 46. 46 after each other.
He shakes his head. This is no way to live. We move from the principal's house to the town of Klaya just down the street. Here, the Maronite Christian Church told everyone to stay to guard their homes. So in a hall at St. George's Church, women and children make care packages for the older people who have also stayed. Anaya Hasbani runs her hands over her face. Every day, she says, she thinks about her decision to stay. Every day, she says, the missiles feel like they're getting closer.
You can say we're now in like kind of a cage.
The main road out was destroyed by an airstrike. Israel has struck cars and ambulances on these roads. 2 weeks ago, Israel fired just outside the main hospital. All the doctors, nurses, and pharmacists fled. Hasbani worries about her elderly parents.
We have no doctors. And if you got injured, high blood pressure, nobody can help you.
She says she actually packed her bags, but her parents refused to leave.
Because they know deep inside that if we left, we're not coming back.
It's how everyone here feels. Older people feel like they'll die before this war ends, or they feel like if they leave their homes, Hezbollah fighters will move in and Israel will bomb them. Right now, she says, no one, not the Lebanese government, not Hezbollah, not Israel, is giving them any indication of where this war is going.
We feel that we're left. Yeah? We are our support system, that's it. Nobody else.
In the sky above us, we see a plume of smoke. Hasbani steals herself.
You can check it up there. We hear the bombing and we keep on doing what we were doing. Just we're cooking, we keep on cooking. That's it.
And life does go on. People work in their gardens, friends sit on stoops. And just as the sun goes down, the church bells toll for Mass. Father Pierre Al-Rai is just outside the doors. And just like so many in this town, I go to him for answers.
Do people ask you, you know, why does God allow this?
Hello. All of us, there is something very bad inside us. Even if you are born like in the image of God, who is the source of goodness.
This war, he says, was birthed by the gruesome nature of humans. But his faith gives him hope that one day the goodness of God will prevail.
If we don't have hope, we will be now in another place.
I see. So hope is what keeps you here.
Yeah, of course. We stay here. Our weapon, you know, it's the hope. I believe that it's stronger than all the weapons.
A few faithful file into the church, and every once in a while, the airstrikes shake the wooden doors. Oh, good-hearted Virgin, you who gives us a helpful hand, they sing, you are our only resort, and in you lies our hope.
Ader, thanks so much.
Thank you, Steve.